The Kickoff on Radio City Talk. Your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.
Time for a sound of Merseyside. John Gibbons, as always, is here. Morning.
Hello.
Gibbo.
Good morning.
Who have you brought in with you today?
I've got the protagonist. Very excited. We go way back now. We just met downstairs.
You go way back to reception.
No, but very exciting young band. They were actually one of our ones to watch a few weeks ago. That's where I first discovered them. I saw that they were playing and listened to them and just blew away by the EP, really. So really excited to have them in. And they're going to play live as well, which is even cooler.
Okay, Connor, Ryan, Mike and Rhys. Morning, lads. The morning. Protagonists. Morning. That's a nice name, isn't it? You're proper hardcore Scousers, you lot.
No, all North, all North End.
North End. Bootle, Crocky, yeah. Bit of Melling thrown in there as well. Right, who's the spokesperson for the band? Tell us a bit about the band. Who wants to kick us off? Connor?
Away.
There you go, come into the microphone. Get in.
Looks like I've been nominated anyway.
Yeah, go on. When'd you get together?
Well, we've been like in and out of bands, haven't we, for about 2 or 3 years now. But this line-up, you know, not including Mike because he's the new kid on the block. We started about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Just over 2 years.
It's funny you said that. You all look so young. You don't look like you had time to have another band before this moment in time. Yeah. But you obviously had 2 years together, yeah?
Yeah.
You're great mates, so do you all hate each other or what?
Well, me and Ryan used to be in rival bands, so we would have been unsure of each other at first. But
he was a bit shady.
What, yeah. like a blur Oasis type of thing? Or?
Probably more fierce, to be honest.
Really? A lot more hatred?
No.
That's like before their time. They're like, who? Yeah.
It's true, that. Is there a modern-day rivalry?
Probably not. Everyone's too safe now.
Yeah. Used to like it when there was a bit of sort of hatred between bands. It was almost a bit of competition. Right, so you got together somehow, yeah?
Yeah, just the two bands split up.
Musically.
And, yeah. I thought, yeah, he's all right. So
right.
I poached them.
Okay, so what do you all do in the band, Connor?
I sing and play guitar.
Right.
I'm
Ryan.
Lead guitarist.
Play bass.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we're having a trouble with your mic. Go on, you play bass.
Yeah, bass, yeah.
Okay, that's Mike. And Rhys, what about you?
I play drums and sing back and
vocal. Oh, he's right in the background there. There you go.
Yes.
Don't forget when you speak, you've got to come in these microphones. Yeah, right, they're not very... Right, so you knew you were on Sound of Merseyside the other week because Gibbo put you as a one to watch.
Yeah.
Were you excited about it?
Off and off, yeah.
Yeah? Do you need these little breaks to sort of, you know, get you going at an early stage?
It's motivation, it keeps you going.
Does it?
Things like this, yeah, definitely.
We've been looking forward to coming on since we got told we were coming on. Like, so it's,
yeah, I've been telling everyone.
It's exciting time, isn't it?
Is it hard to get promotion as a young band?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
It's the hardest part.
What have you tried then so far? I mean, just in terms of getting your name out there, because there's hundreds of bands, aren't there?
Yeah. But like Facebook and like, you know, Instagram, Twitter, just like pushing out there.
Just trying to be quite like social media savvy and you know, just trying to play as many big gigs as possible. Trying to get as many people down, because it's all about ticket sales now, and you know, the more people you get down, the more people take notice. So it's hard, like, but you know, we're willing to put the work and see how far we can get.
We talked about this before, Gibbo, haven't we? How as a young band, how you get yourselves recognised.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this is a platform, isn't it? But you know, Connor's saying there, it's all about how many tickets you can sell. But actually, in an early stage, that's going to be quite an ask, isn't it?
Yeah, because you don't want to be harassing your mates all the time as well, and there's a kind of balance as well between when you're a young band, you want to play as much as possible and you want to get as much experience playing on stage as possible as you can. But if you're doing that and you're playing 2 or 3 times a month, then you're not going to have loads of people down at every gigs because, you know, people are going to say, oh, well, I'll come to this one or the next one or whatever. So it is that balancing act, really, for young bands who, you know, it's tough because, as I say, you want to play as much as possible, but then you got promoters saying, well, how many tickets have you sold? How many people are you getting down? So it's not easy, really, but as long as you're enjoying it and as long as you feel like you're moving forward, you know, I just say to bands all the time, it's all about momentum. And that's what I say, as long as you feel like you're moving forward, as soon as you feel like you're going backwards, then you're in a lot of trouble, really. But as long as you feel like you're pushing on and progressing and you've got things to look forward to, then you're going in the right direction.
Can it be soul-destroying if you're not selling tickets? You know, if you put a gig out there and, you know, it's a 200 capacity and you're only selling 40, 50?
No.
Is that hard or...?
40-50 is all right, you know what I mean? As long as you've got people in there, you know, that's kind of fine. And I always think as long as you get one more new fan from every gig, then I think that's good. Because you don't know who they're going to go and tell. So I wouldn't worry too much about how many people are watching you all the time. It's as much about, well, who's there? Are they enjoying it? And who are they going to go and tell? You know what I mean? There's that famous Sex Pistols gig in Manchester where there was 11 people there or whatever it was. You know, I think loads of people have claimed it was them, but, you know, the people who were there were very important people who then went on to form the Buzzcocks or went and formed, you know, did different things. And so it was like, you know, there was 12 people at the Last Supper. I robbed that off Tony Wilson.
What's the fewest number of people you play to, Gibbon?
Oh, 4, I think.
Was it?
Yeah, 4. That's probably including the barman.
It's just like an Anfield rap gathering.
Everyone's done like a rubbish gig or like a gig where
it doesn't mean it's rubbish, does it? Yeah. It just mean that, you know, you might not have a lot of people there.
But if you can get someone come up to you afterwards and say, I've never heard you before, but that was brilliant, then I would always say it was a gig wave too.
Okay. Is there an idea behind the name, The Protagonist?
I got it from an Art of Monkeys B-side. The album that they released, Humbug, it really resonated with us. And they had a B-side called Sketchhead and used the word protagonist. I think I must have been about 14 when I heard it, and I thought, it's a good word, that. So I Googled it to see what it meant. realised.
This is what it's all about.
Inside knowledge. But it turns out it means like leading character, and I thought, yeah, that's quite a good name, that. And when I eventually formed the band, and when I was about 16, I thought, yeah, that's the one. I'm gonna have to go with that.
I Googled it to find out what it meant. Brilliant.
Never told anyone that before. So
that's a world exclusive. Right, we're going to have a break, and then we'll hear from you singing live. Yeah, have you got it? What have you done so far in terms of music you put together and sort of either released or put out there so your fans can hear it?
We had a big EP launch in October, our EP Girls, which what John mentioned before. It took a long time recording it, and we were very proud of it, but we're back in the studio on the 25th and 26th recording our next single, Matthew Street. Hopefully people will enjoy it as much as they enjoyed the EP, if not more.
Right, you like that time in the studio, Ryan? Is that a...
Yeah,
is that is that a good period? Yeah,
always managed to be hungover as well. So, but that it's uplifting and making like new music and exploring different sort of instruments. Even like on the EP, like I was doing a bit of keyboard and everything. Like I can't play it to save my life, but you do little bits and you pick up different things and. Really good.
Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Right, we're going to hear from the protagonists live. They're quite excited about this, Gibber. This is quite nice.
So they should be, you know what I mean? It's a big deal coming on with me and you, Steve.
I don't think they're excited about that. I think they're just excited about playing on the radio. Right, so Connor, what are you going to do for us?
This is going to be our next single, Matthew Street.
Right, okay.
The best street in the world.
Take it away.
You've been running around my head all morning. It seems as though my conscience is calling you, and everything that you do, most of your behavior is quite appalling. Broken entry into my mind without no warning, and I stand stood in glossy eye. But there's something in the way of all the things I'm trying to say. But I'll keep making drunken plans with you, 'cause seeing you would get me through the day. And the hangover's definitely worth it. Last night's makeup still left flirting with your face. We're both rough, but somehow you work it. Matthew Street cocktails are all that we can taste. But I'm a disgrace compared to you. And I lose face, confronted by your eyes of misty blue.
Maybe you're not what I thought you were, babe. The second time I seen you, I thought my mind was made. And we go our separate ways. The next night I seen you, the flames ignited. After a period of awkwardness, we reunited. And then we're in a Hackney back to yours again. And there's something in the way of all the things I've been trying to say. But I'll keep making drunken plans with you, 'cause seeing you would get me through the day. And the hangover's definitely worth it. Last night's makeup still left flirting with your face. We're both rough, but somehow you work it. Matthew Street cocktails are all that we can taste. But I'm a disgrace compared to you. And I lose face, confronted by your eyes of misty blue.
Very good, Connor. Very, very good. Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Personal recollections of something going on Matthew Street there?
No.
I'm a disgrace compared to you.
Oh, well, that's yeah. Yeah. We've all been there.
We've all got a Matthew Street story, haven't we?
I love talking about reminisce on a Saturday night.
No, I love that song. There's not enough. I don't think there's enough songs about Liverpool. I've always felt like that, you know what I mean? There's a million songs about New York, isn't there? But for some reason, like, Liverpool bands never really kind of write about their own city, and it's a shame. So I'm really glad you've done that. And I love the line about yesterday's makeup still flirting with your face. That's a lovely, lovely line, isn't it? Well, because you know what he means.
Yeah, and in fact, most of the song, talking about Hackney cabs and everything, it is like a proper night out, isn't it?
Yeah. But why I felt did you drunk by the end.
Why did you want to write about Liverpool?
It's just the best place.
Just personal.
It's just we've probably drank a bit too much recently, to be honest. And you know, when it's just one of them things you've got to write about, because we've been doing it more than we've been doing other things. And
it does.
It's about, you know, Matthew Street as a place and the people you meet there and stuff like that. I just think it's quite an interesting and not spoke about as much as it should be street.
And is that very much the sound of the band as a whole?
Yeah.
How would you describe the?
Sort of, I don't know, there's loads more involved in that song, but...
Back and vocals and stuff.
Yeah, there's loads of little things missing. Originally it was an acoustic, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
But we sort of made it into like a big sort of band tune. It's probably one of our main tunes now, so...
It's excellent. It's a brilliant, brilliant song, isn't it? So are these lads, where are you gigging? Where can people catch you?
Well, our next big one is the 4th of March, the O2 Academy. We're supporting a band called the Sonic Revolvers. We've been informed, apart from our tickets, it's going to pretty much sell out. So,
what's the capacity there?
It's the Academy 2, Joe.
No, I'm not sure. It's a couple of hundred.
Right, so it's a decent night for you lads.
Yeah, it's going to be really huge.
It's sound wise and, you know, production wise, lights and stuff like that. It's probably the best venue you could ask for, really. But so we're really excited for that one, and you know, we need people there supporting us, because there's going to be a lot of people there. So we need people on our side.
Get down there. See the protagonist. Well, what advice could you impart on these lads at this stage, Gibbo?
I don't know if I'd need to, but just sounding great. But I just keep getting out there as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Keep trying to get in front of people and people who are going to push you, because the hardest thing in the world is writing good songs, and the lads can do that. So like, they've almost done the hard bit now. So in terms of hard bit, in terms of what more people can't do, but... It is hard work, and it sometimes feel like you're banging your head against a brick wall. Mm. But as long as you're enjoying it, and as long as you're enjoying each other's company, and you feel like you're in it together, then you will kind of keep going. And then eventually, like, the right people will hear you, and you'll go.
Are you all working at the same time? Are you all studying, or what are you doing?
Come on, I'll let you go first.
I'll go first.
Ryan?
At the minute, I'm an electrician.
Right, so you're an electie.
Yeah, that's it. I've recently come up with time, so... Yeah, it's good.
Right, so that,
it
that's
helps
fine.
Fund the.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah, it's not quite like complete rock and roll, but carving Sean, so it can be stressful times, yeah. But
well, there you go.
People need the
nice stable job, yeah. everyone needs it, so
a lot of cars out there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Reese,
everywhere. Go on,
Reese. Do you need a quote? Do you need a car?
Yeah, give you a quote.
Yeah. Well, Mike's give you a quote on anything. I don't know. So, you what other gigs you're doing this year? How's the year going to pan itself out? Have we got anything penciled in? Any of the festivals in Liverpool or anything like that?
We've applied for them, so right. We just have to wait and see what happens. But right. Obviously, as I said, we're recording the song we just played there. We're recording that in 2 weeks' time. And we're planning on doing a big single launch for that. We haven't decided on a venue or a date or anything yet, but we want to make that as big as possible, really. And just trying as many people down, we'll get a good lineup of bands with us as well. So that's the main thing we're looking forward to now, getting these big gigs out the way now and then concentrate on setting this up ourselves.
Steve Hothersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.